This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another tag-along discussion on the 99 names of Allah. I am your host, Bilal Khan, with yours.
I just realized I'm not even showing up in this camera.
You're not supposed to show up in camera. Like, I'm not supposed to show up in that camera.
Okay.
So, FYI.
Okay.
By the way, this video, we're going to be talking about
Al-Hakim,
and part of the wisdom of which is the most all-wise encompassing of wisdom, right?
Yes.
And a tidbit on folks, if you're ever doing Eid khutbas, make them snappy.
We're still in the Eid season.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah.
It's Eid season every Friday.
Yes. Yeah, you know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said from the fiqh of a person is that he makes his khutbah short and his salah long.
Mm.
That's from the fiqh of a person, the understanding of a person. And I know one sheikh who makes his khutbahs on purpose.
Uh-huh.
His community, everything, anybody who comes and visits,
yeah,
they tell him the khutbah is 10 minutes. The khutbah is 10 minutes.
That's dope, man.
So the question then became... Awesome. My question to him, to the sheikh, was I said to him, the problem is that what I've heard many shuyukh talk about is they say, hey, this is the only opportunity we have to educate and inform the people.
But the khutbah is not for education.
So we need that for 20 or 30, 40, sometimes 50 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm. Not everybody's a good educator.
His response to that was a really good response. He said, that's their problem. Right, like that's your problem. If you can't get people to come to an educational program, that's your problem. But that's not what the khutbah is intended for. And I also think that TED Talks kind of flipped all of that on its head, because they proved that you can provide information or inspire or educate and do all of these things within 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, they're like their whole thing is like their magic number is like 18 minutes. They said because beyond 18 minutes, you start losing. And even you'll notice these videos, they're not longer than 18
minutes. Our videos?
Yeah.
I mean, these videos, I think, are going to have to be edited down to 18 minutes.
No, they're not longer than, like, the longest running video that we have uncut is 18 minutes.
Okay.
Cool. And so, like, even when we edit it down, it's anywhere between like 5 and 15. So,
alhamdulillah. Good. Because I don't think.
That's for you guys.
Yeah, I don't think a person can listen to us for more than 10 minutes at a time.
Anyway. Well, it depends. I can listen to us all day. Kahari says he can listen to us for 3 minutes.
Three seconds.
3 seconds, okay.
All right, so let's get to Al-Hakim. Alhamdulillah, salat, salam,
Hakim, Rasulullah. The dream.
Yes.
So coming to you from Houston.
Yes.
Rockets.
So he's talking about Hakim Olajuwon. But we're talking about Al-Hakim, Allah Azza wa Jal. And so Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim meaning the all-wise. Mm. But there's a couple of names also that are appropriate with that. And that is Al-Hakim as well as Al-Hakim and Ahkamul Hakimin.
So you got the triple play.
Yes, these are the names that have some flexibility.
Okay.
Which we defined last week to be, or in the last episode to be, names that have flexibility are names that in which, you know, some people will say this is a name and some will say, no, it's not really a name. Like Ahkamul Hakimin.
Okay.
The most.
Is it Al Ahkamul Hakimin or just
Ahkamul Hakimin?
Ahkamul, okay.
Yeah. Ahkamul Hakimin. Which is the most just of those who judge. And as for Al-Hakim, Al-Hakim is mentioned in a number of places. So Al-Hakim is mentioned in a number of places in the Quran. He's mentioned 94 times in the Quran.
What's the difference between Al-Hakim?
I'll get to that.
Jumping the gun.
Al-Hakim is mentioned in 94 times.
Mm-hmm.
And Al-Hakim is mentioned 5 times.
Let me ask, what's the significance of a particular name being mentioned X number of times?
What is the significance?
Yeah.
My.
Like, I see this mentioned, like, I see people do that a lot.
Well, they'll comb through and they'll say, this is the reason. And I believe it's just something that people, like, if you find a name being mentioned a lot.
Okay.
Right? That's indicative that Allah, as well, a lot of times is directing your attention to this name.
And if a name is mentioned only once, like, or a couple times, like Al-Ghalib.
Yes.
Right? Does that mean it's not that much attention setting? I would think that would be more attention setting because, look, I'm only mentioning it here, so pay attention.
And that's a way to look at it as well, right? It's like you look, oh, this name is only mentioned once in this particular instance, so pay attention to the context, for example, in which this name is mentioned.
Okay.
Whereas you have something like Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, is the fact that it is mentioned at the beginning of every surah indicate something? Well, yes, definitely.
Is it part of the surah, or is it part of the or simply just part of the etiquette of reciting a surah from the beginning? Because if you're reciting
the Basmalah, isn't a part of any surah except for Surah An-Naml.
An-Naml? Yes. Oh, because in the end.
No, it's in the middle of the surah.
Oh, really? It is in the middle. Okay.
Yeah. Bilqis, she says, Ya ayyuhal mala'u inni ulqiya ilayya kitabun kareem innahu min Sulaiman wa innahu bismillahir rahmanir rahim. I get goosebumps, man.
Do
it's interpret amazing.
The meaning of that.
She says,
yeah.
Sulaiman sends a letter mm-hmm. to Bilqis, the queen of Sheba.
Okay.
And
oh, so her name is not Sheba. Sheba is the Sheba place. Sheba is the
place. Saba.
Saba. Okay. Yes. Oh, okay. Because it's Desi's name, Saba. So it's actually the Desi-fied version of Sheba?
Yes.
Okay.
So Saba is in Yemen.
Okay. Got it.
So she says, Ya ayyuhal mala', she says, Oh my people, inni ulqiya ilayya kitabun kareem. I've received a noble letter. Innahu min Sulaiman. It's from Sulaiman. Wa innahu bismillahir rahmanir rahim. And the letter says bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
So they used bismillahir rahmanir rahim from the time of even Sulaiman.
For sure.
So it's not a new thing that's for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. Nope, it's by text of the Quran that it's there. But we digress as usual. So let's come back to Al-Hakim and Al-Hakim. So Al-Hakim.
Wait. Hold on. I know we won't. Sorry. Sulaiman is after Musa.
Yes.
So Bani Israel is familiar with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Yes.
So now I'm wondering, is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in the Torah?
Is it in the Torah? Maybe.
So why were the Arabs like ar-Rahman? They were not familiar. Ar-Rahman? Yeah. Why were they? What was it?
Because it didn't reach them.
Okay.
It didn't reach them.
So were the Jews of Medina familiar with it?
Possibly.
Okay, I guess some.
Possibly. They might have been familiar with it. But we're talking about Quraysh. Quraysh was not familiar with Ar-Rahman.
Okay.
They said, who is Ar-Rahman?
Got it.
Yeah. So Al-Hakim. So Al-Hakim is the one who, الَّذِي يُحْكِمْ الْأَشْيَاءَ وَيُتْقِنُهَا. So Al-Hakim is the one who perfects everything and he places everything in its appropriate place. And so, again, you'll always find the definition of hikmah, you'll see this come a lot, that the definition of wisdom is putting things in its proper place.
Mm.
It's not necessarily treating two different things equally. It's treating everything and everyone in a way that it is appropriate to them.
Equitably.
Very good. Exactly. And of the meanings of hikmah also is, there are a lot of ways that hikmah is reflective. The hikmah of Allah Azza wa Jalla is reflective in this world that we live in. So of them, for example, is believing that Allah Azza wa Jalla is al-Hakim,
mm-hmm.
is that we weren't created for no reason.
You know, just made real, you know, a lot of people, they always fight for equality. Would it be more appropriate to fight for equity?
Yes, I think so, for sure. To fight for equity would be better than to fight for equality, because treating two people who are different equally is an act of oppression.
Mm.
Yeah. So then we have, of the ways in which we see the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jalla is in the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla did not create us for nothing. He created us for a reason, because He is Al-Hakim. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla, we know that we are here not abatha. We're not just here for no reason.
Abatha.
You're saying abasa. I'm saying abatha with a tha. Okay.
What does that mean?
And that just means for no reason, right? Chaos.
Vain.
Yes, in vain.
Okay.
That there was no purpose behind it.
Okay.
No, we believe that our Lord is Hakim. That we have a purpose here. It's a matter of us so finding what that purpose is.
The justice is hikmah, Hakim, justice as well, or no?
It's
because
not,
sometimes the term has to do with somebody being a judge, right? Somebody who
Al-Hakim.
Al-Hakim is a judge.
Yeah, the one who judges. Yep.
Right. So it's very much related to justice. So the fact that it is out of the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're not here.
I mean, when you put things in their proper place, that is an act of justice as well.
Okay.
Right. So then you have of the manifestations of the hikmah of Allah Azza wa Jal is the sharia.
Okay.
Is the law. And so Allah Azza wa Jal gives us these measurements,
but right? When you're talking about wisdom, set up already, and how much of it is interpretable and
all of it. What we're talking about, what is set up already.
Yeah.
Like, for example, inheritance, nasib and mafruḍa. Allah says these are the amounts and there's no play in it. Or that which is given us flexibility. All of that comes back to his hikmah. He knows what are the things that should not be played with at all and should not be left for interpretation.
And that's clear.
And that's clear.
Okay.
And the things that are open for interpretation, and that's clear as well. And so this is, and that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. He says the halal is clear and the haram is clear, and between them there are doubtful matters that many of the people don't know. But he said many of the people, and he didn't say all of the people don't know. So there's always aspects that are going to be
clarity in the doubt granted somebody has taken the time to clarify it.
And Allah Azza wa Jalla has given that person that clarity.
Got it.
Which brings us to the third aspect of faqihu fi din. Yeah, someone who's been given fiqh of the religion.
Okay.
Also, which brings us to the third, which is yu'ti al-hikmah man yasha. Allah says he grants wisdom to whoever he wills. And whoever is granted.
Not everybody is wise.
No.
And wisdom cannot be always attained.
We have the statement here, you know, common sense is not so common. Forget wisdom, just common sense is not so common.
Okay.
So Allah Azza wa Jalla grants wisdom, and whoever has been granted wisdom then has been given khayran kathira, has been granted a lot of goodness. And so
is there a specific dua for asking Allah to grant one?
I've never heard or come across a specific dua asking Allah Azza wa Jalla for hikmah. But a person can ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for hikmah, for sure. Yeah, you see people who, mashallah, have wisdom. They know how to solve people's problems. Their suggestions are always suggestions that are just very weighty and measured. And
what was it one time? It was, I think, in one of your classes, you mentioned something along the lines of, wisdom isn't knowing what's right or wrong, but it's being able to decipher between two rights or between two wrongs.
That's the definition of fiqh.
Okay.
So a person who's a faqih is not the person who knows between the halal and the haram.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows between two halal things what's better and between two haram things what's worse.
Okay.
You see? So,
but that requires wisdom.
Yes.
Okay.
But it also requires fiqh, understanding. And so you have to be able to measure things accordingly. And not everybody has the ability to do that. Some people, you know, when they command the good or forbid the evil, they bring an evil that's worse. And you see that every single day. And then you have some people who, you know, try to command a good. And they don't bring about a good that's better than the good that the people are already experiencing. So, and so asking Allah Azza wa Jal for hikmah is something incredibly valuable to be encouraged for a person to seek out. And also something that's beautiful, just a normal example, everyday example of the hikmah of Allah Azza wa Jal is really the differences in languages.
Okay. How is that?
How? What is the wisdom in Allah Azza wa Jal creating so many different languages? Allah Azza wa Jal says, and we have created you into nations and tribes that you may know one another. But also the differences of the languages, for example, it shows you the, you know, the power of Allah.
Okay.
You know, we keep bringing up this guy who made this elf language. What's his name?
Oh, J.R.R. Tolkien. He's the guy who wrote Lord of the Rings.
Right.
And as part of the writing of the book, he's also a linguist, right? So he developed his own fake language called the Elven language. But the same process was also Gene Roddenberry applied the same process where he came up with the Trekking Comes Out in Me is the Klingon language.
Okay.
And people actually learn the Klingon language and speak it. As
not people, but nerds learn the language. Yes.
So it's the same concept that they actually came up and developed this fake language and people.
So he created the language. Yeah. So it's a complete.
They did the same thing with the movie Avatar with James Cameron.
Okay.
They developed the Navi. They worked with linguists and they literally worked.
I wonder the depth of these languages, like how rich these languages are.
It's a good question. I mean, I think for the purposes of, I think out of these three, I mean, I would say the Elven language is probably has the most depth because it has had time and culture and nerds and geeks to get in on it
and
develop it further.
Yeah.
And one of the cool things that he did was he even developed dialects within it. Because
I would imagine that they had a lot of time to develop it. It's been
almost 50 years since he came up with it. And even then, it's just like people continue to have
to practice it from their parents' basements. Yes.
So yeah. So where were we going with this?
So where we were going with that is that you saw how Bilal's face lit up and how he amazed he was and excited he became when we were talking about a single person who created
a language.
A language, and we are not sure about its depth. It just spans three novels or what have you.
No, man. He's got like a bunch of books, bro. Okay. You got Lord of the Rings, which is three. You got The Hobbit, which is one. And you got The Silmarillion, which is another. And then you have a whole series of other books, which kind of is like a dictionary encyclopedia of the fake history of Middle Earth, which is...
And then we look and we say, look at what Allah Azza wa Jalla created of the vastness of languages on this earth.
True.
And these are the languages that are spoken now, not the languages that are spoken 1,000 years ago or 2,000 or 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And so Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions that as one of... All of that is indicative of the power of Allah. He says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. Allah says, from His science is the creation of the heavens and the earth and the differences in your color of skin and your languages. And Allah just says, Ar-Rahman, khalaqal insan. Right?
Wait, we talk about Surah Ar-Rahman?
Yeah.
Ar-Rahman,
allama al-Quran, khalaqal insan, allamahu al-bayan.
Yeah.
So Allah just says, Ar-Rahman, he taught the Quran, he created mankind, and he taught them speech.
Okay.
Right? So this being taught eloquence and bayan is a great favor from Allah Azza wa Jalla that he taught us.
And that was one of the things, is it, that no other species on earth has bayan, right? Or is that, or are there species that
have bayan? I don't know. Every species has some way that they communicate.
But the idea that they're not going to, well, you're talking about your poem, right? You don't see a cat marvel at the sunrise or whatever it was.
Yeah, they're not impressed by beauty. Whether or not they communicate and what level of communication, that's I think something that scientists figure out.
Because the thought was like even with from the Quran, where the ants would say like, you know, Suleiman is coming, you're going to get trampled, right?
So that's communication.
That's communication. But it's not like the ants are going to go back and write poetry.
That's a very good point. Unless they wrote it and we don't know about it. Inshallah. All right. So we end here with regards to Al-Hakim. وصلى الله عليه وسلم محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم كثيرة.
Wait, before we end, like, is there any action points we can talk away? Like, what do we do with this?
The action points?
I mean, we go home and read Lord of the Rings. I'm all for that.
No, the action points with regards to Al-Hakim, number one, very important action point is contentment. Contentment of the heart. When I realize that, you know what, the way that my life is going is being designed by Al-Hakim, the one who is the most wise.
The one is the most, okay.
That grants
so
you
basically
comfort.
What we have in life and where we're at is out of the justice of Allah and for us to be
His wisdom.
His wisdom.
And Allah Azza wa Jalla is the most wise. There is a reason, and not only a reason, but a marvelous, incredible reason for why what's happened to me has happened to me.
Okay.
I may not know it, I may never know it, but I take solace in the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla is Al-Hakim.
Everything happens for a reason.
And a great example of that is the story of Musa and Al-Khidr. Musa is incredibly intelligent and knowledgeable and all of these things. And he can't wrap his head around why these things are happening.
Yeah.
And he, you know, the story gives us access at the end, but we don't have access for the stuff that happens in our day-to-day lives. And so we have faith.
Okay.
And understand that Allah Azza wa Jalla is Al-Hakim.
Sure.
Also, important action item is from this, is to seek out wisdom. You know, people used to seek out wisdom, learn wisdom, and recognize also that a lot of wisdom comes from simply experience.
Okay. Well, one says seek out wisdom. You're saying that not everybody's granted wisdom, but you can seek it out. Like, what does that mean?
What that means is that when I add experiences to my experience, I add lifetimes to my lifetimes.
So seek out the experiences of others is seeking out the wisdom.
That is seeking out wisdom.
Okay.
And not only that, but also... in the form of mentors, or if not in the form of mentors who are alive, mentors who have passed away.
You know, one thing I just realized, we talk about like experience, right? What defines an experience, right? It's not just a memory, but I was having a conversation with someone and I was asking, like, if you were to describe somebody to me, like, why is it so difficult to describe them? They're like, yeah, but you know, it would take a lot of depth to know someone. I'm like, well, if you know somebody, you know them on a number of levels, right? You know them on what their basic talents are, right? What comes naturally to them, right? Corniness comes naturally to me. Wit comes naturally to you. At the same time, what is it that they've spent learning? What have they spent educating themselves on? Going into that, how have they, what the skills have they developed along with that education, and how have they combined all that into something that they've applied, which has become an experience, and what have they learned from that application? I think that's where the wisdom comes in.
I think that's very good.
So the question now is, maybe a lot of times we might have a lot of wisdom in our own experiences, we just haven't taken the time to reflect on it.
And by the way, I love what you just said right there. I really think, for example, journaling.
Yes. I'll tell you right now, the book I'm writing myself is just like...
Your journal, your thoughts.
Yeah, just...
A lot of us go through life and we're not even recording, right? You're never going back and seeing, you know, and what...
looking back, reflecting, pulling lessons. You know, some of the most painful moments in life, you don't realize how many lessons there are in it if you just take the time to relive that pain maybe a little bit. But then
I think more and more people are journaling than ever before.
Yeah.
In the form of Facebook statuses.
Okay, but it's not really reflection.
I mean, they write their reflections,
I suppose.
But I would say Facebook statuses kind of, they just bury everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you write a Facebook status, that you just copy it into a single document,
yeah,
and that becomes your own journal.
That's a brilliant idea.
Thank you very much. That was worth getting to the end of the video for.
Do that. Guys, that's an action item. You guys write stuff? Hey, document it. Google Docs, Evernote, whatever.
And I really think, you know, ما خاب من استشار. The one who consults doesn't lose ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you consult people and you gain, you add experience to your experience. And that's something important also, to consult people. You know, we talked yesterday about the story of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Isra and Mi'raj.
Yeah.
And the prayer was obligated on him 50 times.
Yeah.
And he met somebody with more experience than him. And that was Musa alayhi salam.
Musa.
And Musa alayhi salam continued to tell the Prophet, go back, go back, go back. Trust me. Your people aren't going to be able to do it. I tried. I have more experience.
Yeah.
I went and I tried with Bani Israel and they're just not gonna. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continued to benefit from Musa's advice and his experience until he got to the point where he said, I'm too shy to ask my Lord for more. And so it stayed at 5. But look, we benefited so much from Musa alayhi salam's experience with Bani Israel. We were saved by that.
Yeah.
So consulting people who are older than you is always something, people who have more experience than you, is a habit of people who are, successful.
And this is maybe like even a sunnah that we can even revive and get benefit for us personally, visiting old people.
Yeah. Learning their stories.
Yeah.
Benefiting from their example. You know, they say that a wise person is someone who learns from the mistakes of others.
Yeah.
And
I was just thinking of this poster, right? You know how they have those motivation posters?
Yeah.
And then they have those unmotivation posters as well, which is kind of like the sarcastic ones.
Yeah.
And they show like a ship is sunk. And it's like some people are just meant to be a warning for you.
Yeah. They say a wise person learns from the mistake of others. An intelligent person learns from their own mistakes. And a dumb person doesn't even learn from their own mistakes.
Yeah.
Something like that. So we end here with Al-Hakim. وصلى الله عليه وسلم محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم كثيرا.